Let's not laugh when I'm doing the intro. Welcome to the Metal Hammer Podcast, episode 37. I'm Mo, I'm here with Luke and Elle. Hello.
Hi.
That was a good hello. Yeah. The latest issue of Metal Hammer is still on sale right now. It's pretty much still a new issue. It's only been out a week. It's a horror spectacular, guest edited by Rob Zombie. We've got interviews in there with the likes of John Carpenter, Kane Hodder, aka Jason Voorhees, Doug Pinhead, Bradley, Bill Moseley, aka Chop Top. Loads of other people in there as well from the horror world. We've also got the likes of Wednesday 13, Kirk Hammett, Danny Filth, Goblin, Jesus Christ, Opeth are in there, Ghost are in there. It's just ridiculous and it's stacked and it's awesome. Go pick it up right now. You can also listen to Luke's excellent Metal Hammer Meets Nurgle podcast. Latest Behemoth album is brilliant, that's out now as well. Listen to Luke talk to Nurgle about all that kind of stuff. That's on another podcast stream you can listen to immediately right now. We're on Spotify as well. That's still quite a new thing. So if you're listening to this and you fancy listening to it on a different platform from iTunes and Acast, we're also on Spotify now. Never been easier to check out the world's greatest metal podcast in the world. I think that's all the plugs done, isn't
it's
it?
It's the spooky season.
Yes, it is the spooky season.
It's the season to be spooky.
Guess what I did last night?
I know what you did last night.
That's true, that was false advertising. I went to see John Carpenter live, the Master of Horror.
Merlin's wearing an amazing t-shirt right now. Describe it, Merlin.
Well, it is based on my favourite ever horror film, The Thing, and it says The Thing on it in big words, and it's got a scary dog, scary Arctic dog,
and husky blood.
Thing, and some blood and stuff. It was on sale at the gig last night. I have literally never walked into a gig venue and put down money on a t-shirt so quickly. Since I saw it, I was like, God, I have it.
£800.
It's really
£800. If £800 was £20.
That's quite good for a gig t-shirt.
I was happy with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fair play.
Good. Thanks, John.
Nice one, John. Was the gig good?
It was really cool. Yeah, it's weird. He's basically on, he's kind of in the middle of this group of about, I don't know, five or six musicians overall, all dressed in black. He's on his, I couldn't quite see over, I was downstairs standing, I couldn't quite see over, but he looked like he was just kind of on his little keyboard synthesizer set, and had a guitarist, bassist, drummer. I think he might have had another sampler or keyboardist in there as well. And they all literally just steamed through all the iconic John Carpenter tracks that he's ever done, because if you don't know, John Carpenter scores the vast majority of his own films. And while they're playing them through, as well as kind of a nice little light show, they're playing kind of like montage clips of each film on in the background. So it's kind of very basic. A lot of the time it almost feels like you're at a Comic-Con or something, because it's all just fanfare. People cheer the kind of the sound isn't on the clips, but people cheer the iconic moments that come up on each film screen.
Yeah, he's dead!
Yeah, exactly. Like, oh, the alien head!
Oh, I need to do something Halloween-y.
Michael
so
Myers
badly.
Punching through the closet Jamie Lee Curtis is in, like, all that stuff.
That's cool.
So that was really good.
Was it a metal crowd? What sort of people?
Really mixed. Yeah. Pretty metal. Quite black clad and beardy. But like I said, it felt like a Comic-Con crowd, because it was very much like people were cheering the big bits.
It felt like
you were just watching an hour and a half long trailer, really, and I was just going, yeah.
Did it get you in the mood for Halloween?
It really, really did. And I mean, I don't love everything John's done, but I love a lot of what he's done, and all the big ones were represented in. I can't think of anything he didn't really do that he should have. Obviously The Thing was cool, The Fog was a great bit. Big Trouble in Little China, Escape from New York, all accounted for.
Amazing.
He introduced a new song from the new Halloween film that's just about to drop, which he talks about a bit in our new issue. Another plug.
And it's great.
You've seen it, haven't you?
Yeah, it's really, 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 really good.
So envious, I can't wait to see
it. I loved it.
So he played a bit of that score as well, that was really cool. And he played a bit of the new film. I don't know if there was unseen footage on screen either, there might have been. And then out of nowhere, the main Halloween theme just suddenly dropped, and it went from a shot of Michael Myers in the new film to that first shot from the original Halloween when he's the little kid in the costume.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And it just sat there, and everyone's like, yeah! That was really cool. Really, really cool.
That's funny.
So, yeah, it was great, and I feel thoroughly spooky.
Oh, I need to get in the mood so badly.
You should pick up on your issue, Al.
Yeah.
It'll get you right in the mood.
That and gingerbread novelties from Greggs.
Yes.
That's how I know it's Halloween.
Are they sponsoring us?
No.
Just plug in Greg's.
If you're listening, Greg's.
Just because I'm not.
I'll take a Greg sponsorship. I do solid pasties.
I want a gingerbread bat. I think that's the slogan. I'll know it's started.
Gingerbread brat and pumpkin spiced. So I'll tell you what is spooky. We'll get you in the mood for Halloween. There's a new Ghost video out.
Yay!
Yeah, for Dance Macabre.
Good pronunciation.
Thank you. I was waiting for you to acknowledge that.
The slight roll on the R.
It's really good.
It is.
I'm thinking it's taken them quite a long time to get another video out, doesn't it?
Well, I think it's because they just put loads of stuff out in a big stream all at once, didn't they? They just went, oh, here's loads of ghost stuff.
Yeah.
When they were teasing the record, and now, yeah, it's kind of
like Rats came out in, what, April?
Before the album did. So, yeah.
And the album's been out since, I think, May or... Yeah, May,
earlier this year, yeah. But they've been releasing a lot of just sort of tidbit videos just to expand the story, and it's like, oh, like, here's this bit now. And it's, you know, but this is the first in a long time for a proper music video. And I liked it. I'm not, it reminded me of the Tainted Love video by Marilyn Manson a little bit, where you go around the house party.
Yeah.
But then the Call On Me video starts midway through, and all these dancers come out in their singlets.
It's really fucking weird. Yeah, sorry, I got thrown then. I was thinking of Take On Me by Aha. I was like,
Tainted Love with the house party.
Yeah, it totally is like that, and it's the right mixture of kind of cool and knowingly tacky and just fun. And a little bit, well, not gruesome, but a little bit grim.
A bit of blood in there.
A bit of blood in there at the end.
And some plague doctors, because...
I love plague doctors so much.
Yeah, it's cool. It's very good. Go check out. Now, on the subject of videos as well, Architects have just released a brilliant mini-documentary, Holy Ghost. They just put that out today. You should definitely go and see that, but maybe do it when you're not feeling... Well, or maybe watch it when you are feeling emotional. It doesn't matter, but it'll definitely hit you in the feels, because it's an amazing piece of work about where they've been over the past couple of years. So go watch that too. What else is going on?
Ozzy's cancelled his US tour, lads.
Get well soon, Ozzy.
Yeah, he's having surgery on his hand, is it?
Yeah.
What happened?
Well, maybe you can fill me in, Luke. I didn't really understand. It said he's had infections in his hand. Was that from previous surgery, or is this...
Well, it sounds like he's having to have extra surgeries. He's going to have to get, basically on doctor's orders, he's been told to stop touring and go, because he needs additional surgery. So I guess there's been some, we don't know for sure. There could have been complications with this one, or he's not fixed yet. I don't know. He's done something to his hand, the silly man.
That's all we know, isn't it?
That's all we know, unfortunately.
That's not very good. Well, hopefully he'll get better soon, because mentioned a few times on this podcast, last couple of times I've seen Ozzy, I think he's been as good as I've ever seen. Probably the best I've seen him, actually, vocally.
That's good.
He's been absolutely great. I'm so psyched for that No More Tours 2 tour with Judas
Priest. With Priest as well.
I know. Judas Priest on their best album for 25 years in a long form Ozzy.
Oh.
Yep.
Yeah. He has said
is the word.
he has said that all the cancelled dates will be rescheduled. So if you've got tickets, keep hold of them. You will see Ozzy at some point.
Hell yeah. Someone who was supposed to be gone but isn't.
Nice.
Wouldn't fuck up.
Are you
properly
talking about Motley Crue?
Yeah. What are they up to?
They've got 4 new tracks coming and are promising a surprise.
Yeah. Well, we knew that
the 4 songs are actually good.
I just don't care.
Do you not?
Well,
not interested at all.
I think they've got like a great back catalogue. But yeah, like you said, they were kind of supposed to be retired, and we saw their last show, and it was just a bit sad. And
I enjoyed the last show.
Sad like hell.
Well, you know, there's that bit where Vince Neil was in that crane thing and came over the crowd, and then Nikki Sixx had a rant about keeping a knife in his boot.
That was weird.
Oh, yeah, that was weird.
It was all just a bit weird. It was all just a bit like, oh,
I did enjoy the show, though.
Musically, I thought... Yeah.
Motley Crue can be a mess sometimes, and that was not... I thought that was quite good.
It's my first time seeing Motley Crue.
It just felt
like
a bit
show.
Sort of past its sell-by date.
Well, you could say that about anyone from those hair metal days.
Not necessarily.
Alright, name one band from that scene that's still relevant.
Guns N' Roses.
Are they
better?
They are after last year.
You're
right.
I'll keep an open mind.
Guns N' Roses are way better than the hair metal scene, aren't
they?
I keep an open mind, but I'm just not very excited, and I'm being honest.
Unquestionably one of the greatest metal bands ever, but that last album they did about 10 years ago wasn't great. Saints of Los Angeles, the song was alright.
Yeah, I quite liked the song, but I can't remember anything else about that album.
Down at the Whiskey was on it, I can't remember what else, but yeah, it was not, I don't know, I'd love to be surprised, I guess.
See, I don't think it's going to be a record, like, from what I you sort of read between the lines, I think it's to do with the Dirt document or the Dirt movie that's coming out. They're recording new music for that.
That makes a lot of sense,
I think.
Yeah, that would make sense.
But I think it was Nikki Sixx that says they've got a surprise plan to show, you know, that they've got some crazy ideas or something, so fuck knows what that's going to be.
I mean, I'm into that. I'm into weird ideas.
I wouldn't be surprised if they play again. They said they signed that thing.
What was that thing? So they can't...
They're not allowed to tour.
That, but they can play.
I think they at some point they did say, but that doesn't mean we won't play together again.
Yeah.
But what's that mean? Because if you do like 10 gigs in a year, but you don't technically travel there together...
Yeah.
Like, do you know what I mean? Like, what constitutes touring and what just
That's
constitutes...
That's how contracts work, isn't it? Just get around the clauses. And it's not like that contract was something like, you know, you couldn't back out of anyway. It was a... They just made it up, didn't they?
Yeah. I don't know. As I say, historically speaking, love Motley Crue. Shout Out the Devils, one of my favourite metal albums. And their legacy speaks for itself, really. But don't know. Do we need it?
We don't need it. We don't need it. I'm looking forward to the Dirt, though. I am looking...
Have you guys read that book?
Yeah, that's what I mean. So I'm a fan of the book, but I'd be interested to see how it translates.
Yeah.
How it actually paints Motley Crue.
Exactly. In the current climate, I'm not sure how that book's going to go down as an adaptation and how faithfully they're going to be able to adapt it, because... There's a lot of problematic stuff.
Well, it's just because it's a story of the Dirt doesn't mean it needs to be pro Motley Crue, I guess.
No, but... I kind of think it shouldn't be. Well, no, let me rephrase that. It shouldn't just be like, just, oh yeah, rock and roll, this is great the whole time. Because that's not really what Motley Crue's story is. So it's going to have to be handled quite sensitively. It's interesting that it seems to have taken about 80 years to complete as well.
Yeah. But oh yeah, I'll watch it obviously. But I'm a Motley Crue fan for my sins. But I don't want any new material.
No.
Soz lads.
Well, surprise us, Motley Crue.
Kick on, Vince.
Kick on, Vince. There's a Disturbed album out.
Speaking of songs we want to hear, probably.
I know one of us definitely does.
Come on, you've heard it.
Elle is the Office Disturbed fan, loves him, did our very excellent cover feature earlier in the year where we revealed a lot of exclusive stuff. Now it's out there. What do you think of the latest Disturbed album, Evolution?
Yeah, so it's called Evolution, or Evolution. How do you say that? That's another one. Evolution here, Evolution in America.
I was saying it like Corey. It's Evolution.
That's quite a good song, though.
Yeah. So, if, I don't know if you read the cover feature or not, but... It's,
I did.
Yes.
Oh, thanks,
Earl. You should read it if you're listening to this.
But it's basically split into two halves. He's got the ballady side, which is continuing.
It's very ballady, isn't it?
The Sound of Silence, and it's got the Disturbedy side, which is kind of your bread and butter Disturbed. Songs like No More, which is kind of a militaristic type stomp, and Are You Ready, which came out as a single, which is kind of, I feel like I've known that song forever now. It's just one of those classic Disturbed singles that just gives you exactly what you want from a Disturbed single.
Does he do the noise?
He doesn't know. I think he's
a changed man.
Yeah, he's taken out his chin piercings. No more noise.
Which we revealed months ago, by the way, on metalhub.com. A few people are paying attention now that it's big news on the internet.
So, it's a very weird record because on the one hand you've got these very, very slow, quite overwrought songs, and on the other hand you've got these ones that you just bring out in an arena and just kind of blast out there, and that's what Disturbed do. So, I was kind of like, I'm not really sure what I think about this. So, I sort of let it rest for a while and came back to it. And the thing about all the ballads is, they should be terrible because they're very overwrought and like very melodramatic and like cheesy. But they're so well produced, and David's voice is really good, that when you sort of go away, you find yourself singing them and coming back to them. It's really fucking weird, because objectively they shouldn't be good, but I really like them. There's a song which...
I said this the other day, and I still don't understand this idea of music being objectively good.
Like, well, they're really, really overwrought ballads, which are really cheesy and should be really terrible, but they're so well done that you just find yourself singing them.
But the Sound of Silence was... On, if you said 2 years ago Disturbed are going to do a Sound of Silence cover, you'd be like, that's one of the worst ideas I've ever heard.
Yeah.
It's really good.
I know, that's
really good. I don't see how anyone could say it isn't a really, really decent cover.
There's this ballad on the record. Well, there's one song actually, it kind of bridges the two. I think it's called In Another Time, and it's all about the days before the internet, which is sort of a bit laughable to begin with, but... because it's a bit like
old man yells at cloud.
Yeah, basically old man yells at cloud. And then I just can't stop singing it. It's really overblown and overwrought and kind of wistful and way more dramatic than it needs to be for a song about the internet. But, you know, the emotion is meant to be that people used to talk to each other more before the internet. Now people have problems connecting. So I kind of see where that's coming from. And it's just kind of this, like, combination between the disturbed kind of normal kind of metallic riffs and then this kind of chorus that's sort of soaring and very dramatic. And it should be terrible, but I can't stop singing it, and I really like it.
Good. Well, he's done something right then, haven't he?
I think they're just really good at doing things.
Always a good skill set.
They're just really, like, they, I put that on my CV. They're one of those radio rock bands, and they know how to make a good song, and they know what makes a good hook, they know what makes good production. Like I said, David's voice is very good on it. And when you put those three things together that they're very good at, a good song comes out, whether... you know, you think it has amazing artistic merit or not. They're just good songs. I think it's just an album of good Disturbed songs. Some ballads.
Put that on the cover. It's an album of good Disturbed
songs. Some ballads, some not ballads. If you don't like Disturbed, you're going to hate this record. If you do like Disturbed, that's got all the things you need. That's
who
kind of it, really.
Bloody right. Haven't they been hinting that they're going to be coming back over soon as well?
Yeah, I think they went.
They said which cities they're going to visit. Yeah. Open date,
yeah, that's really weird. It's like, oh, we're coming to see you, but you don't know where or when.
Clear your year. Sick. Just hold tight.
Are you guys going to come with me?
We'll see. We should take some...
Yeah, I'll probably come see Disturbed. I really enjoyed them when we see them last with Avenged.
Yeah,
they were really good that day.
Exactly.
Yeah, to be fair, as a Disturbed detractor, that was quite good.
Yeah. And I mean, we talked about Sound of Silence, but Land of Confusion is one of my favourite.
Oh, I love that cover.
Yeah, that was quite good.
Me
actually.
Too.
Absolute ironclad.
And
banger.
We talked before about just having a good time, you know. And some of the songs on the record, the ballady ones, are actually quite like. Sad and difficult if you actually dig beneath the surface, but they've also just got a lot on there that's about sort of having a good time, I think. Yeah. Getting rid of your anger.
We all like a lot of music that's stupid, but it's just fun to sing along with.
Yeah, you know, if you want a song about...
Which new metal era is the greatest era of metal history for?
That sounded like it was a question.
I didn't understand that question.
It wasn't a question.
Oh.
I was saying that is what that Disturbed's era of bands are the very best at.
Yeah.
Big,
you know,
silly, fun
music. The new single, Best Ones Lie, it's just a song, you know, about people lying. It's about politicians, like, you know, lying and people
that
you like lying to you and stuff. And yeah, I mean, on the surface, that's just kind of quite a sort of, you know, obvious thing to write about. It doesn't really go too deep, but actually the song's really catchy and, you know, that's good.
And the best ones do lie, guys.
Wow.
Trying to get deep with Disturbed.
I don't know what it's
hard. I know, that's what I mean. I was like, maybe if you say it again, it means something. No, it doesn't, Dave.
Stop it. Elle's busy out here standing for Disturbed.
I know,
I'm sorry.
We live in a world where things are a bit messed up and politics is messed up, and this is a song that's kind of written about that, and it doesn't go into deep political foreign policy or domestic policy.
I love it.
But if you just want to relax and, you know, get out a bit of your frustration and have a good time, this is a good song to do it with.
There you go. Evolution, the new Disturbed album is out now. And you can, I think the bundles are long gone, maybe, but the the bundles are gone, but if you did miss Elle's excellent cover feature with Disturbed earlier in the year, we still have a few of the original issues still on sale on our website, I do believe.
Yes, there are a few left.
And he's not really done many more interviews since then because
ours was the best.
Because ours was the best. So you can still check that
he's
out.
Completed interviews.
It's an interesting record, an interesting guy, I'd get involved.
There you go. we should take some readers' questions because there's some really good ones this week.
There are some good ones this week.
Shall I read the first one?
Okay. You haven't talked enough in the last 5 minutes. Go for it, mate. Yeah.
Oh!
You asked me to talk, my love.
I did.
Liam McDonald asks, with it being October and the new issue being Halloween-based, what band members would you want to see playing classic horror monsters? I reckon Danny Filth would make a great Freddy Krueger with his terrible jokes. Oh, bit of a barb at Danny Filth.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, I think Danny Filth would proudly admit he makes terrible jokes. Well, we did have Kerry King as Pinhead 1 year.
That's we did.
Nice, about three years ago, I want to say.
Yeah.
That was a hell of a cover. So we've done that. I've got written here, Marilyn Manson as Beetlejuice.
That's fun.
That would be like really that. Fun.
That'd be good, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
And Till Lindemann as Jason Voorhees, just because he's a big, scary man.
Nice. Both fantastic.
Thanks.
See, I Voorhees, he wields like a machete, doesn't he?
Yeah.
See, I had Matt Heafy written down for that, because he's all into samurai and stuff.
That's not what samurais fight with.
They fight with weapons. They fight with blades.
I think they fight with samurai swords, from what I remember.
But he's probably quite handy with a machete.
My history isn't that great.
Fine. I apologise. I couldn't really think. So I was trying to think of like the iconic ones. I couldn't really think of anyone for them, really. I had Zach Wildbound as a werewolf, just because he's hairy.
Sure.
Man. I had Devin Townsend down as Jigsaw from the Saw films.
Oh, that's quite good. Yeah,
I was like, who's like a bit quite smart and
not the little puppet,
mad shit.
To be clear, that's Jigsaw's the guy behind the scenes.
Yeah, the controlly puppet master man.
Yeah,
but yeah, I don't know who'd be Michael Myers. Who's one an unstoppable
someone who's
man.
A bit quiet.
Mick Thompson.
Yes, yeah, so I was thinking Mick because he wears a mask.
Yeah,
and
Mick Thompson,
and he's
giant.
Big. Yeah.
Yeah.
What about Leatherface? Just a massive bloke going mental.
Yeah, it's like, who wields a chainsaw?
Matt Heafy.
Yeah. Yeah. Fine. The ancient chainsaws of the samurai.
Fuck's sake.
Well, I was thinking about Nosferatu, and initially I thought Marilyn Manson just then, but actually I much prefer him as Beetlejuice because it's a whole mischievous thing going on.
Yeah, it's
on.
A bit campy.
What about like Billy Corgan as Nosferatu? Because he's got this sort of...
Just because he's bald!
Yeah.
He's creeping around the castle.
A bald, pale figure and sort of you can expect he might have like long fingers.
He might have long fingers, yeah.
No, I'd have Garl as Nosferatu.
Garl's fucking great.
No, he's not... It's not... doesn't fit Nosferatu's type.
Well, he's intense and quiet and, you know, spooky.
I really love Nosferatu. I really wanted to pick a good one.
Well, you failed.
Yeah, you try again.
Billy Corgan.
Yeah, but I could see it, though.
Just because he's bald.
Yeah, I could see it, for sure.
What other big horror characters
he's just been on stage, like, last night. It was wearing a big, like, robe thing to cover Space Oddity. And I sort of thought, you know, that's a bit Nosferatu, isn't it?
Wow.
Yeah, he covers Space Oddity and Stairway to Heaven. Yeah. Didn't need to happen, did it, Billy?
Not in a 3 hour set.
Silly,
what
silly man.
What other monsters are there?
Go on, man. Horror man.
Frankenstein's
monster.
What about Ash? He's not a monster, he's a horror hero, but... Chainsaw again,
yeah.
Heafy.
Heafy's Chainsaw. Go on.
I think Heafy
could make quite good Ash.
I was going to say, though, I think he'd be quite a versatile actor. I'd have nothing to base this on, except he's quite... I don't know, he's just... I think he'd
he's
be
got
quite
an
a good
emotive
actor.
Face.
He has got an emotive face, and he's an emotive character. I mean, when he talks in interviews, you know, he always talks about kind of, like, feeling his emotions quite intensely and dealing with that, and I reckon he could switch quite quickly from sort of a demonic character to an emotional character to an angry character. I just think he'd be quite versatile.
Sure.
Basing it on nothing, really, but...
That said, I've decided Corey Taylor can be Ash.
I was thinking Winston McCall, as we did
cover. We did Parkway Drivers and even better.
Yeah.
Definitely.
He actually looks quite a bit like him as well.
Yeah, he's got that manly chin.
Yeah. Strong jaw.
Strong jaw.
Mmm.
That would be... Sure. Who else is there?
Frankenstein's monster. Come on, who'd be like...
That'd be Till.
Yeah, that's a good shout. Actually. Yeah, he looks a bit monstery.
He's just like just a massive bloke.
Yeah.
What about Halloween films like Edward Scissorhands? Who'd be Edward Scissorhands?
Oh, that's a good one.
Matt Heafy.
Like a bit of a goth dandy.
A goth dandy?
Yeah.
Papa.
Yeah, Tobias.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he would be...
I mean, whoever that might be.
Tobias Forge.
I'd love to see Tobias play Edward Scissorhands, but he couldn't do it as any of his characters because he's got a character already. So it'd have to be Tobias as Edward Scissorhands.
Yeah, I agree with that.
That would be great.
That would be good.
Oh, how do we make a horror movie starring all our favourite musicians?
Raise millions of pounds?
Kickstarter.
Come on, Kickstarter. Yeah, let's do it.
Wow. He will pledge.
Pledge now.
I would pledge the shit out of that. So yeah, there we go. We've just got a Halloween Horror Hall of Fame made out of metal bands. Give us your own on the Metal Hammer Readers page, metalhammer.com.
No, I didn't get it.
I nearly got it right. It's been ages since I fluffed it.
Do it again.
Facebook.com/Metal Hammer Readers.
Fucking.
Give us your suggestions for the greatest topic ever. Gary Sloan asks, do you believe that a last ever or goodbye tour should be stuck to? Should bands go back on their word?
No.
No.
Why?
No,
well, yes.
I think I meant that you should be able to come back. Is
no,
that what you
shouldn't be.
Yeah, we can have a debate. I totally reckon you should.
It's debate time.
Yay! No. If you feel so strongly that you're not going on hiatus, that you're genuinely going, this is our farewell tour, then mean it. I don't understand why you do a farewell tour.
Because things change.
Because life is fluid, personalities are fluid. You have to be able to adapt and change with the times.
Did you not
something
say
right
it's the last time ever then?
Yeah, should you not
no,
say
it's
the last
time ever? No, because I think if you mean in the moment it's the last time ever, say it's the last time and do it. But
why make a big deal of it? Why not just say, oh, you know, what is going on?
I'm doing the rubbing my fingers money.
Merlin's making the money.
Yeah,
sound.
But in that time, you might genuinely think it's the last one and want to draw a line under it. Like, we were talking to Greg the other day from Dillinger and the Black Queen, and he was saying, obviously, Dillinger did a farewell tour and he, you know, it wasn't really great. Like, they didn't really enjoy it, but they wanted to tell everyone it was their farewell tour. They're drawing a line underneath it. And I think that's fair enough. But if in 5 years' time, they're like, we're at different places in our lives and we actually think it'd be really fun to do it, totally they should be able to do it.
Mm.
At the Gates, that was fun. Did all their farewells. They came back.
Did At the Gates do an official farewell?
I saw them about three times on the last tour. I'm sure.
But did they call it the last tour, though?
I'm sure I saw them at a last tour and at a festival, and it was all, we knew it was all the last thing, and then they came back. I don't remember things.
No.
I think 2000.
I'm sure some bands say, we're going on hiatus, and that could be for whenever, but when bands literally go, this is our farewell tour, you're never ever seeing us again,
sure,
and then 4 years
I'm
later
Googling
they come back.
I can't remember things.
So the greatest example of this is probably Refuse, who
I was
basically
quite...
said they were done, and it was one of the big, this will never happen.
Yeah,
and then it happened, and everyone that went thought it was really good.
Yeah, that's the thing. That is, you know, I admit that I'm a hypocrite in that a lot of the time, the bands that have done farewell tours, I missed first time round, and when they come back, I see them, and it's like, hooray! I saw Refused for the first time on that when they came back, and that was exciting. But I just don't understand. If your argument is that people change, and bands know, you're going to change. I don't know why you'd make a big song and dance about it being a farewell tour if you know in your half hearts that it's not going to be, unless it's for the money.
But you might not know. Like, I see out the Gates. They broke up in mid to late 90s. They reformed in 2007. I'm pretty sure I saw them in 2008 at Bloodstock, I think it was. And that was really good. Like, I was a child in the 90s when they were doing things. I never saw them. I got to see them play then in 2008.
But did At The Gates, I don't actually know this, did At The Gates go on record in the 90s saying, this is our last tour, we're never getting back together, or did they just break up? Because there is a difference, I think.
I'm having a look, because I don't...
Because this is kind of in relation to Motley Crue,
really.
Said... Motley Crue are like, we are never touring again.
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't see anything about a farewell tour, and I was an actual child, so I don't know. But it says they basically, the brothers left, the remaining members decided it would be impossible to continue without them, so they broke up. And then obviously, you know, they went off and formed all their other projects in 96.
But we're not just talking about bands breaking up.
That's the thing, I've got no problem with bands breaking up and getting back together again. But if you're genuinely saying to your fans, this is the last time you can ever see us, come now, and then you come back again, it's a bit of a fucking...
I mean, Ozzy's doing this now. He's doing the second No More
Tours. The second No More Tours.
And even now he still keeps saying, well, I'm still going to play gigs.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He said this is not going to stop touring, but still going to do gigs, which is... I wouldn't be surprised if that's what Motley Crue are doing. They're just going to play a gig in LA, probably. That would be the big surprise. But
well, like, Sabbath did their final tours last year.
Yeah.
And I don't think we'll ever see Black Sabbath do a world tour again. I wouldn't be surprised if, in a couple of years, we might get, like, a big Black Sabbath show somewhere. And I'll be okay with that, because...
It's their 50th anniversary.
I mean, I'm always going to see Black Sabbath, but, you know, I can't see them all getting on the road again.
No, not at all. And it makes perfect sense, because, you know, these guys are, you know, mid-60s, you know, or later. And it's like, yeah, of course you're not... This is your farewell tour. But No one's questioning that. But I've got no problem with bands breaking up and getting back together again. But it's just when you sell the fact that you're leaving for good, goodbye fans, thank you for staying with us, and then you just come back again and do it all again and say, oh, no, we're back again, come see us again. Tickets are more. It's just like, fuck off.
Yeah, but I think, you know, people are allowed to change their minds. And also, if it's your favourite band and you think you'll never get to see them again, it's a really nice surprise if you get to see them again.
Fair enough. So I've got distracted because you've got Greg's mineral water. You're obsessed today.
I need the Halloween novelties.
What? Halloween water?
Spooky mineral water.
No, I need the best.
It's eerily natural.
You don't understand how much I love Greg's Halloween gingerbread novelties.
Oh, stop it! We're not getting paid for this!
So much that you bought the mineral water.
Dear me.
Fuck me.
Okay, so Elle says it doesn't matter. And Luke says it doesn't matter. So.
What do you say, okay.
Greg? Yeah, you're in the middle. Have an
exactly.
opinion.
Yeah, come on, Mr. Neutral.
I think... I'm just trying to think when it's happened with a band I really care about. I was trying to think of recent. That was to show me a picture of a spooky ring bun.
Okay.
Cool. I don't know. Who's done this in the last few years? I'm just trying to think of bands that have made it. I mean, Dillinger have done it, but I've seen Dillinger loads. I'm cool with them not being on the scene.
Crew. Obviously.
Yeah. Crew were kind of already in their later years though. If someone like Code Orange did it and they're like, we're breaking up, we are never getting back together, this is it, this is the last tour, and then they're back together on tour again in 2 years, I would moan about it and say this is nonsense, and then I'd go watch it. If I'm being honest. So yeah, there you go. But yes, once again, facebook.com/MetalHammerReaders. Tell us what you all think. Someone else do a question. Elle, stop showing me spooky biscuits.
But it says it's decorated with sugar play, guys.
We're on radio format. No one else can see this. We can't show
this. This isn't how podcasts work. Next question. /Deathington.
That's not their real name.
It's not. We know that real person, but this is their screen name.
Oh, okay.
Besides the UK and US, which country is serving up the tastiest metal these days? Metal goodness.
Elle, you put together loads of excellent global metal CDs for Metal Hammer.
Come on, some delicious metal.
It's a global hot pot metal.
Wow.
Stop looking at cakes.
Can't help it. Well, Indonesia.
I'll tell you what the tastiest gingerbread to eat is. Yeah. It comes from Greg's.
Indonesia's always good, isn't it?
Yes.
Burger Kill had a record out this year.
Yes.
And Jasad have played Bloodstock in the past, so Indonesia is always good. Shout. Nepal have the Silence Festival coming up again in November. They have a lot of cool bands playing there. They have Cancer Bats headlining this year, but there's also a bunch of bands local to the country, sounds ridiculous, but bands from Nepal. Who else is good right now? Tenga Cavalry are always good for that Mongolian folk metal, although he's based in New York.
Cheating.
Yeah.
you put me on the spot now. I hadn't looked at this question before.
So
who is good?
Well,
have you got the track listing of our record?
No. Right. I thought it's cheating, it's not really metal, but France has a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah, some wicked
Birds
stuff.
In Row.
Yeah, Birds in Row, and also the ever wonderful synthwave scene, Carpenter
Brut. Oh, course, Spencer, yeah.
Anorak's from there as well. I know there's some others I've forgotten, but that's kind of the real melting pot for what I think is one of the most exciting scenes in the game right now.
I feel like every band coming out of Iceland is great right now.
Yeah,
as well. Yeah.
Like, I don't know what's going on, but everyone's fucking been. And anything in Norway.
Yeah, Norwegian, like the kind of post-Cavell attack, Norwegian black and hardcore scene is just absolutely awesome.
Pretty much Scandinavia is just fucking good for metal in general. Like, it's not a secret, it's not a big, you know. It's not a hot take at all, but it is mental how good it is.
Yeah, it's just endlessly, endlessly good. The culture for it there is excellent. Very cool. Australia as well.
Yeah, Australia's got some good shit.
Post Parkway is kind of doing really well. Political band.
New Zealand, you got Alien Weaponry?
Yeah, that's good. We've seen it. And Devil Skinner from there, aren't they, as well?
Yeah. And the Beast Wars as well.
Yeah.
And then you just mentioned Iceland, and I went on about it for ages a couple of podcasts ago, but I love Agent Fresco,
yeah.
Icelandic band. Just please go and buy all their music because they're in such a weird niche. that, I don't know, it's difficult. You kind of worry that they're not going to find that audience, or they're not going to get as many people listening to them as should be listening to them, but they're such a great band.
I sort of say, yeah, but they have got the audience, isn't it? It's just prog metal fans.
Yeah, but it's a funny one, isn't it? It's like them and Leprous are making this kind of really, it's like epic pop metal or something. It's like, it's really hooky and melodic, and it is really heavy as well, and it's just kind of, how do you find that audience, you know, which I spoke about before, like, apart from a couple of niche festivals, how do you get that out to people? Because it's the kind of band where I just feel like lots of people would love them if they listened to them, but it's getting it out to the place where people can access it and hear about it.
Almost like on a Metal Hammer podcast. Listen to Agent Fresca.
Do it, because they're so good.
And there's another band from Iceland called Un Misere, who I only heard of in April this year when I saw them at Roadburn.
And I only heard of 10 seconds ago.
Yeah, so. It's like a really nihilistic hardcore band from Iceland. And yeah, they played one, I think they were only booked to play once or twice, and they ended up playing at least three or four times over the weekend because they got such a good reaction the first time. They got booked again to play the smaller venue at Roadburn later on the festival because it was fucking bedlam in there and it was amazing. I don't think they've played the UK yet. They're very, very small. I think it's just like, it's got some stuff on Bandcamp, but check them out.
Heard
it here first.
Unless you were there as well.
All their merch is really horrible, so good.
It's horrible.
Yeah, but good horrible. It's just knives and scissors. It's just like lovely, sweet.
Lovely stuff.
Guns, razors, knives.
Let's take another question.
Kevin John McDonald asks, what movie could be improved by replacing its soundtrack with rock/metal?
The Notebook.
Funny, because I've got down Love Actually. So I...
Yeah, it's fucking
I would basically take Love Actually, replace the soundtrack with really, really good rock and metal songs, and then delete that film for having ever existed in the
past.
It's the worst film ever made.
You kind of just have to suspend? That's not a word.
Dispend your belief.
Yeah, you have to just suspend, like, the cheesiness of it.
Yeah, I have to suspend my like of good films to watch that.
I don't dislike Love Actually.
Worst film ever made. It's
really
the worst film
it's the kind of
ever
thing
made.
You end up watching it at Christmas, bullshit, like with your family, whatever.
No, my mum hates it.
But what I hate about it is the bit where Alan Rickman cheats on his wife, because it never changes. However many times you watch the film, he still does it.
That's how films work.
The same thing's happening again.
You were going to shit yourself when you watched Groundhog's Day. No, it's the worst film ever made, sorry. It's fucking awful. I love cheesy Christmas film, but it's just pants.
It's such an
terrible,
it's such a
terrible
movie
story.
Of the times, it's mad. Like Marty McCutcheon's like the main, one of the main guys, isn't it? It's like, the fuck is
that? Yeah, well, she's the one that he cheats on his wife with.
Doesn't she fancy? She fancies Hugh Grant.
She's the one with the prior. Come on, even I know this. I hate that film.
Yeah, she's like the prime minister's secretary or something.
Yeah. Oh yeah, they get together at the end.
Yeah, school play or whatever.
Yeah.
Oh, and that scene when they're all in the airport.
Abby.
They play the Beatles, don't they? God only knows.
Yes.
Not Beach Boys.
Boys.
Oh, yeah.
How embarrassing.
Dear.
I don't know, I'm tired.
Fine.
So, I would...
More rock and metal.
Delete Love Actually. I mean, any action movie is always good, I think. With Expendables could have done with a good metal soundtrack, would have been good fun.
I think when you got a machine gun going off and some blast beats at the same time, it's going to be fucking great.
Even though, in hindsight, a lot of it was a bit crap, I did like the kind of turn of the millennium horror movies that all had metal soundtracks, like Freddy vs. Jason,
like Resident Evil.
Yeah, Resident Evil.
Yeah,
which that was quite a good one, I think. That Michael Aguilar
did
something.
Yeah, it did. And there was another big one as well.
But yeah, like I was quite a big fan of that because it just added to the mayhem. So big fan. And we're back to horror again.
Yeah, it's Halloween time.
Tied it all full focus. We should do a horror podcast.
We should. Maybe for Halloween we'll do a bonus one.
Ooh. That's a good idea.
Yes. If we have time, guys, that'll be a bonus podcast.
There are numerous gigs coming up this weekend and into early next week that we're going to be reviewing on next week's podcast. Black Peaks in London, Carpenter Brute with Ghost. That's Ghost without the H, not the big Ghost.
Yeah, I'm yet to see Carpenter Brute. So.
Neither of you have seen him. I'm so excited for you to see it. It's so good.
I'm more excited to see Ghost or Ghost, to be honest.
Will they be wearing a skull face?
Fucking amazing.
It's really amazing.
But yeah, Carpenter Brute is like all the videos I've seen of him live, it's just going to be It's batshit, isn't it?
Brilliant. One of the best gigs into this year, and he's back again. It's going to be great. The Halloween horror issue of Metal Hammer is on sale right now. Get out there and buy it. It's full of spooky, awesome shit. We've got a couple of Within Temptation bundles left on sale as well. Those feature handwritten lyric sheets by Sharon, signed by all hand signs by Sharon as well. They're very, very cool. Still got a couple of those on sale. That gig's not coming up. That's next month, isn't it? Goodness me, what a year.
Too many gigs
going on. We'll be back with all those aforementioned reviews and more next week. We'll see you then. Don't forget to subscribe on iTunes and Acast and leave us a review if you are subscribing to us, because it helps us go up the charts and then more people hear us and we can hang around for even longer.
Hooray.
Hooray. We will see you next week. Bye.
Bye.